to be here this morning and to be able to share the word of God with you. Amen. Well, before I start, a little bit nervous, but we'll get there. We'll get there. I just want to appreciate Pastor Larry and Pastor Krista for giving me this opportunity to come and share the word of God with everyone here today. You know, I spoke to Pastor Larry spoke to me a couple months back. He said, I wanna give you a chance to come and share the word with the people here, but I want to make sure that I'm here so that I can see you sharing the word. So today, if you see me make mistake, it's not my responsibility, all right? You got to blame him, all right? So that could be a possibility. Amen. But now it's so good. I'm so humbled to that you give me the opportunity to really share with the people here today. Who got the Bible with them here today? Can we see? Some of us maybe have in their phones or something. We're going to make some faith confession this morning. Amen. Is that okay? Yeah. Let's do some faith confession. All right. This is my Bible. Come on, I want to hear you loud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. From this will proceed knowledge and understanding. The Bible confirms it and has established it and thus settles it. Amen. Let's just give a round of applause to the Lord. All right. I think it's so important and very powerful that sometimes we make some faith confession and declaration. You know, just as Pastor Larry just spoke this morning, that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. Are you with me this morning? So your words is so powerful. But imagine how powerful your word can be if it's wrapped up around the word of God. Are you seeing that? Because we know that the word of God is powerful. Hebrew told us that the word is powerful, you know, more powerful than any double-edged sword, which means the word of God can either be good or can be bad. It have a two-edged sword depending on how you release the word. That is going to bring the manifestations of what you spoke about. Hallelujah. And that is why it's so important that we wrap, you know, ourselves in the word of God. And which is why it brought me to my topic this morning. I want to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was just praying some time ago when Pastor Larry told me, I want you to come and share. And as we're just praying on that, and in fact, we're doing some teaching at my place. Every second week, we have some Bible studies and life group with the young people there. And we start discussing on, you know, about the anointing. What is the anointing? And how can it operate in our life? And that is what I want to share here this morning today. You know that, you know, before the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts chapter 2, when Jesus gave the disciples, say, wait ye here in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He said, wait here. But that was not the first time that the Holy Spirit was present or was active, in other words. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering among the waters. So in creation, the Holy Spirit was there. Genesis chapter 2, let us know that, you know, and God breathed into man. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, I believe. He said that God breathed into man. And that was, the word breath there, it means rehak. I believe I pronounced it right. Is that right? I think I need to take it back, right? But that word, that it means the very life of God. It means the very being of God. So God breathed into a man and they become a living being, a human being. And we see that, you know, in Psalm chapter 139, the Bible says, where can we run away from the presence of God? God is everywhere. His spirit is everywhere. Wherever you go, whether, you know, under the sea or in hell, the presence of God, the spirit of God has always been present. So we see in Genesis, the spirit of God was there. Exodus, the spirit of God was there. Numbers, Leviticus, throughout until the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has always been present. He never departed. Hallelujah. So when we see the Holy Spirit being at work and the apostles were doing such great wonders and miracles, that was not the first time that he was so visible that we see. No, we have seen him way before that. So in creation, we have seen him. We see that in scripture. Let's go to the scripture and pick it up from there. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 4. He said, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promise, which you have heard me speak about. So Jesus was there giving them this command. He said, wait for the gift of my Father. What is that gift? It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that he wanted to impart on them. He wanted to give for them so that they can be effective in the work they were called to do. We see that, you know, how did Jesus operate, you know, in ministry for 3 years. Even though he only worked for 3 years, yes, his ministry was so powerful. It was because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, Acts chapter 10 verse 38, if we can go back there. I think I have the scripture up there. He said how God anointed the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, going about doing good, healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead. Why? Because God was with him. But how was Jesus able to do such a miracle? How was Jesus able to do good? How was he able to do good? He did good because Luke, let us know. He said that himself while he mentioned the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set free the captive. If we got the scripture there, that would be good. Do we have it up there? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, when 18, sorry. He said, but they all with one accord began to make excuses the first and said to Luke 4, verse 18. Thank you for that. God bless you. I struggle to see. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Maybe at the back there. That's okay. That's okay. But the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, that he was anointed to preach the good news, to set free those that were captive. Why was it upon him? Because he was anointed for it. He was anointed, you know, to preach the good news. So Jesus himself was empowered through the Holy Spirit to be effective, to do what he was doing. Hallelujah. And that is why the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is so effective in the life of Jesus and in the life of the apostles. So we see that not only Jesus walked in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but also the disciples walked in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not only the disciple, but also we see in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Bible said that receive ye the Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. So the disciple also received the Holy Spirit. Why? So they can be effective in the work of the ministry. They were in power to do what they were doing. So now as we go back in Acts chapter 2, where now they received the Holy Spirit, you will see that the life of Peter was so totally different. He wasn't the same man anymore. Why? Because there was an empowerment from the Holy Spirit that came upon Peter. And after, from that moment, his life was transformed. He was a different man. So the Peter we saw, where he was ready to cut people's head off, was not the same Peter that was, in the book of Acts chapter 2. Why? Because there was an empowerment. Not only was he able to do and perform miracles, but he was able to hold his hand back from cutting people's ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that same spirit Jesus have released to the body today. That is why we need, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be effective in what he has called us to do. What has he called you to do? This year that our theme is, I think it's a hope and a great future. Hope and a great future. How will that come about unless it comes through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit? So, I got a question. The question is, what is the anointing? What is the anointing? In the Old Testament, the anointing means to smear or to rob. An example of that when sheep were, in the Old Testament, when sheep were taken care of to avoid insects coming, and biting their ears and killing them, what they would do, they would, bring olive oil and they would smear this oil in the ears of the sheep. Or they would rub it in the ears of the sheep. Why? To avoid insects from coming. To avoid insects from coming and killing them. So when we talk about this anointing, we are talking about being robed in the character of Jesus. Being robed in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so when we receive this anointing, then we can be effective in what he has called us to do. So we see that First Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, God rejected Samuel, Saul. He rejected Saul. And why was he rejected? Because he disobeyed God and he was doing his own thing. And then God selected a man by the name David. And then here Samuel was crying. He said, he was crying. Why? Because Saul was rejected. But God came to Samuel and said, why are you crying? It is me that they have rejected. It is not you. Therefore, take your horns and go and anoint a man for me by the name David, so that when he received the anointing, he will be king over Israel. But after he received the anointing, he wasn't straight away the king. It took times and seasons. It took, time before he can fully be emerged into the fullness of his call. In fact, David was anointed 3 times. The first time when he was about 12 maybe, because he was youth. And the second time maybe about 7 years later to lead Judah. And the third time he was anointed to lead Israel. That is the 12 tribe of Israel. To lead them and to guide them. Why? Because he was anointed. Not only that, but we see that when anointing come, or when people were anointed in the Old Testament, there are three types of people that were anointed: prophets, the priests, and the kings. When that anointing come on them, it means, you know, they were empowered, special grace that was placed upon them to be effective in what they were doing. So it wasn't just an anointing that come upon them just, you know, to do whatever they want to do. No, there was a mission, there was a sermon, there was a call on their life. There was something for them to do so that they can be effective in what they were doing. And so as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that same anointing Jesus now has given us his Spirit. Say, wait in this place, wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you somebody, which is the Holy Spirit. You know, in John chapter 15, it talks about, define the Holy Spirit, that he's a, you know, our counselor, our guide, our protector. But one of the other definitions of the Holy Spirit, it means he's our advantage. Hallelujah. He's your advantage for you to be so just a little bit nervous. So now, the other definition is that he's your advantage. That means through the Holy Spirit, through his anointing, he has given you an advantage over life. He has given you an advantage over circumstances of this world. He has given you an advantage over the challenges of this world. And so as you yield yourself to, you know, to the Spirit of God, because this anointing can be increased or it can be hindered. And one of the ways that you can increase the anointing of God upon your life is through hunger. Through hunger. How much do you want it? The apostles were willing to wait. The 120 in the upper room, they were willing to wait. They waited for the Holy Spirit because they were told not to depart. But as they waited, that was a sign of hunger. That was a sign that they want this. That was a sign that they desire this. That was a sign that, God, this is what we want, and we are willing to wait. So the question for you, I have for you today, how much are you willing to hunger for his anointing? How much are you willing to receive and partake of this anointing? Especially this time that we're walking in and the days that we're walking in, we cannot just walk and do how we please, but we require the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It requires the anointing of the Holy Spirit for us to walk in this life. So I want to encourage the church today, as we're talking about this anointing of the Spirit, that are you willing to wait just like the apostle waited? Are you willing to wait like the 120 in the upper room that waited for the Spirit? Are you willing to do that? Amen. You know, I was just the other day, and I'm about to wrap up with this. Just the other day, I was just talking to one of my friends. You know, early in my walk with God, when I accepted the Lord Jesus in my heart, you know, the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, were moving so powerful in the life of people. And, you know, to some degree, many have no idea of how to steward what God had given to them at the time. But there were some that took advantage of it, of what God was doing at the time. And I was speaking to this friend of mine. He's now a pastor, you know, doing mighty work here in Melbourne as well. And as we were sharing, he told me, David, you know, all this while, even though I go to church, even though I do all of these things, but I did not realize, you know, what I was missing until the moment I come into contact with the Holy Spirit. Until I recognize the anointing of God, not only in my life, but He is there present waiting for us to partake of it. Can you believe that even though he got to church, he couldn't hear the voice of God? He wasn't sure about the voice of God. But when that Spirit came upon him, he was able to recognize the voice of God. He was able to know the voice of God. He was able to, understand who is speaking to him at what time and when. Why? Because he waited. And when that moment came, it transformed his life. He transformed his ministry today. His ministry is totally transformed. Why? Because he came into a contact with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage that same anointing is something that we can partake of. We don't just want to come to church, so that something Sunday morning we can take it off or we come to the house of God. No. We got a world to change out there. We got a city to transform. We got life to change. And until you empower by His Spirit, until you empower by the Holy Spirit, then coming to church might be just an attendant that we can take it off to say that I'm a Christian, to say that I'm a believer. But when you receive Jesus, the reason He gave you the Holy Spirit is so that you can be effective in not just trying to be good, but how you can transform other people's life as well. So this might be a challenge, this morning for us. To desire His Spirit more. To desire and walk in the Spirit of God more. On Friday, just had overnight here, and we can stand up. As I share this, we can stand up and I'm done. On Friday, I was here and I share with the people about an encounter, encountering moment with the Holy Spirit. Encountering moment with the Holy Spirit. Seizing that opportunity to have an encounter with His Spirit. And that's what God wants to do with the church here. That's what God wants to do with us here this morning. So that we can become an agent of change to our world, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors. So that you can become an agent of change. Wherever you go, to your school, to your job, to your workplace, to your business, you can become an agent of change. But that happened through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not just meant for the pastor. It's not just meant, for the preachers. But the anointing is for us in our everyday walk as well. Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. And so that's what God wants us to tap into. Amen. So God bless you. That's what I wanted to share.